Morning. You know, I say it so many times, and Wesley, I love you so much, brother, for the songs that you lead and the way this worship is just led by the Spirit. And you'll see it. You'll see it from the Lord's Supper to the songs to everything that will come together. Praise God. Before I do get started, I wanted to bring it up, and Wesley, you just hammered it home for me with your song, meaning of the song, is, you know, we got Election Day coming on Tuesday, and I haven't seen so much divisiveness, so much hate, so much name-calling, so much stuff that's happened in this election my entire life, and it's just heartbreaking to see this, what the back and forth is going across. To the point, you know, election days, much prior to it, you see political signs everywhere. You know, I drove all the way through Petersburg. You know what political sign I saw? Vote for the casino. And you know what I need to leave on your heart tonight, because, you know, I've been preparing for the elections just as emergency manager, getting things ready so to try to run as smooth as possible in Prince George County. And I'll just tell you, the Prince George County philosophy this year, the best place in the world to vote is Prince George County. Just the theme that we've been trying to push. But we need to understand this. No matter what the result is Tuesday night through the weeks to come, that God is the one in charge. I just wish, as much passion people have towards this election, they would have it doing the Lord's work. That would change the world. So there's a lot going on. Don't be discouraged. God's still in control. It can be discouraging. Tuesday night's an exciting day because the Lord will decide who will be the leader of this country. The songs we led earlier, we need to be praying for our nations and realize that we're blessed to be a part of this nation. That was just on my heart. It was a thing about this morning. Wesley kind of drove the nail in when he started leading this song. So I just wanted to start off with this. Last Sunday we talked about what we say matters. This week what I want to talk about is what we do matters. Our lesson is coming from lesson 17. It'll be out of Acts chapter 10. And just to see in the way the class was going this morning, things were popping up that somebody was reading my notes this morning and stuff, that this is one of those topics that we really need. And chapter 10 and verse 1 is talking about Cornelius. And we're going to talk a little bit about him here in just a moment, a little more about him, because he's significant. And if you heard the verses that were read during the Lord's Supper, you see that Tom read my notes too. So how everything comes together, and it's all for the purpose and the betterment of God's work. You know, there was a man named Cornelius, starting in verse 1, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He was a leader, and we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a moment. But in verse 10, listen to this part. He and all his families were devoted and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. You're talking about a Roman leader who feared God and prayed to him regularly and gave to the needy. In verse 3, it tells us this. One day, at about the third hour of the afternoon, he had a vision. Distinctly, he saw the angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered and said, "Your prayers and your gift to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." Listen to what the angels just said. His prayers and his offering, what he did for the poor, came up to God as a memorial offering. That says a lot. The things we do matters. How we treat other people matters. Our prayers matter. But God just doesn't blow them off. God just doesn't ignore when we help somebody in need. It's a memorial offering to Him. He pays attention. That verse, when I saw it, just hit me. Now send men to Joppa to bring a man named Saul, who is called Peter. He is standing and staying with Simon the tanner's, whose house is by the sea. When the angel had spoken to him, he had gone. Cornelius called to his servant and devoted soldiers, who was of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Now, let's talk about Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman soldier. You'll see it in the notes, mid-level position in the Roman Empire military. He was in charge of probably several men. But Cornelius' role was some of the scholars say, if you read through these notes, that he could have been most likely the centurion who was there at the cross when Christ died. It's funny, that was read just a little bit ago out of Matthew. I do believe you read it out of Matthew. So in chapter Mark, Mark 15, we can find this account. If you turn over the page, Mark 15, and I like Matthew's, gave a more depth and detail. Mark 15, verses 8, the curtains of the temple were torn to from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion who was standing there in front of Jesus said, saw how he died, he said, surely this was the Son of God. I'm pretty sure we're probably talking about Cornelius with everything, the way he was in fear, because in Matthew it talked about it when he saw that, he was in fear of God and realized something just occurred with the earthquakes and tombs opening and all that was being seen, that he knew this had to be the Son of God. That this man who possibly helped crucify Christ. Just see where this story goes. And go back to verse 9 and chapter 10. And let's start there. You know, did I ever tell you all I like Peter? I love Peter. I love his boldness. I love his approach. I said it in class. He's more daring than I probably would be with the Lord, but the Lord knows his heart. So I love Peter. If y'all have never figured that out about me, Peter's one of the historical person other than Jesus that I really appreciate who he is. Verse 9, about the noon the following day, as they were on the journey to approach the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open up and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-legged animals, as well as reptiles and birds. The voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And here goes Peter. This is coming from heaven now, and Peter says, "Surely not, Lord." He replied, "I have never eaten anything impure and unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheep was taken up back to heaven. Basically, Peter was arguing with God. I don't think I had that ability, but Peter's heart is he didn't want to do anything that would defile his worship to God. So Peter was, no, oh, I'm not going to do it, Lord. The Lord was persistent that he get this lesson that he's about to teach him. The same lesson that we need to focus on a daily basis. So in verse 17, we read, did I tell you I really like Peter? In verse 17, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, I can see Peter's going, I really don't get it. What was the purpose of all that vision? What was the meaning behind that? And in verse 17, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking, is Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there? While Peter was still thinking about the vision, he's still in that, what in the world going on? The vision. The Spirit said to him, Simon, men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. The angel literally just pretty much shaking Peter. Come on. They're calling for you. Pay attention to what I'm telling you and what you need to do. When Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you are looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, we have come from Cornelius, the centurion. Now you can imagine Peter's, who sent you? Who's asking for me? Because there's a whole issue there that's being asked. You know that had to be going through his thought and mind. And they told him, he is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jews and people. A holy angel asking you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, going on down, the next day Peter started out with them. So some of the believers from Joplin went along. So Peter didn't go by himself. He pretty much says, if I'm going to go face this Roman military leader, I'm going to carry some witnesses with me. So he's bringing some people with him to make sure, hey, whatever goes on, I'm not the only one going to be seeing this. So Peter brings witnesses with him. The following day as they arrived, Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and closest friend. Cornelius called his family in. Look, I got somebody coming. You got to hear him. I don't know what he's going to say, but I have him coming here, and you need to hear what he has to say. And brought in his closest friend. So Peter has his people. Cornelius has his people. And they're coming together. James, does that sound familiar? Coming together. So they're coming together to hear what Peter has to say. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. Yeah, that's got to be a sight. That's got to be one of those sights where Peter's probably looking in astonishment. The people around them, this whole room full of people watching this military leader bow down in front of Peter. People are going, what's going on here? But I love Peter. Did I tell you I love Peter? I love Peter. His heart. That's what I love about him the most. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I'm only a man myself. Peter realized who he was. That he was a worker of God. That he was nothing comparable. That he had shortfalls and struggles just like any other man has. So often when we approach people, when we bring to God's Word, we are we're coming standing like we have something to prove. That we are somehow better or somehow because we have God's truth that we have an authority that does not belong to us. But Peter told him, look, we're the same here. Because Peter caught on by now. Now what's getting ready? What's going on here? So he said, stand up. Verse 27. While talking with Peter, he went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are all well aware it is against our laws for the Jews to associate with or visit Gentiles. Peter's saying, look, I ain't supposed to be doing this. By all laws, by everything that's about, I'm not supposed to be facing you. I'm not supposed to be here by the law. But God has showed me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. That's a whole lesson within itself. So brothers and sisters, when you approach anybody about God's word, I don't care who they are, where they come from, or what they're about, how you act in front of them and how you treat them, what you do does matter. Because if we have no right to call anybody unclean, because that's God's job. And we are normal people. We're all sinful people. There's sinful people out there, and brothers and sisters, there's sinful people in here. And we need to understand that we don't have a right to hold back the gospel back from anybody. The way we live and the way we act. You know, we struggle sometimes. We talked about what we say matters last Sunday. We struggle sometimes. We kind of write people off. We kind of give up on them. And a lot of times it's not what we say anymore. It's what we do or how we act. We may not be able to tell them anymore. They may not want to hear us. But they can see Christ living in us in our everyday lives. We're still teaching and preaching the gospel with our interaction with them, by the way we treat them, because they're God's people. They're sons and children of God. And I think Peter realized that with that vision. What God says clean, don't you say is unclean. So in verse 29, it says this. So when I was sent for, I came without resistance, without raising any objection. He came without hesitation. The Lord told him, you need to do this. The angel told him, you need to do this. He got up and went. Who else did that? Remember Abraham. Abraham got up and went to a land that he did not know because the Lord told him that he needed to do it. As Christians, that's what we need to do today. We need to get up and went. We need to do the Lord's work without raising any objection. What we say matters, but what we do matters as well. And he asked them, may I ask you why you sent for me? And Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at the third in the afternoon. Suddenly a man shining in clothing stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and remembered your gift to the poor. You know, I want to hold off for a second because it's just something to think about it. You know, people pray. Whose prayers is God here? Here's everybody's. And we need to realize that God hears the prayers of a Roman soldier with the right heart and the right mind. And I think that's important. And so he says, heard your prayers and remembers your gifts to the poor. He said, send to Joplin for Simon, who was called Peter, who is a guest in the house of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent them immediately.
He didn't hesitate either, did he?
He didn't hold back and try to figure out what's going on or should I should or not do it. He did it immediately. And it was good of you to come. And I like that part.
Because he understood that how important it was to have Peter there. It was good to be in the situation where most people would say, no, that shouldn't happen.
Now we are all here in the presence of God. Hold on. So now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Let's go back to what we read earlier and bring out a couple of points this morning from Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. Again, truly I tell you that if two or of you on earth agree about anything that is asked for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For whether there are two or three gathered in the name, there I'm with them. Now this comes from Deuteronomy chapter 19. It's important that they knew and understood this. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 tells us, one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense that it may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. It's funny how God made sure that he had all Peter's followers come, and Cornelius had his whole family holding, because it matters what we do. But I want you all to bring out, let's go back, just flip back one page one more time, and let's look at verse 19 one more time. Because we always use, and I use it all the time, where two or three are gathered in his name, there I'm in the midst. But I want to point out something to you right quick. And again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth gathered about anything, they ask for it, it will be done for my Heavenly Father.
Why do we come together? Let me give you a perfect example of why we come together. When he says where two or three are gathered in his name, that he's present and he answers prayers. Perfect example was last Sunday when Jerry came up here and Wesley, and y'all prayed for me. And then that week, I get nothing but good results. My statement to that, how could I not get nothing but good results? Because where two or three are gathered and the Father's in the midst, he hears the prayers, he answers it. Good point that was made up earlier in Sunday school. It may not be answered the way we want to, but he answers those prayers. And we need to realize we come together. This act of coming together, as you said earlier, is important. It matters because we're stronger as a church. We're stronger when we come together and we worship God together. We need to realize coming together matters. Let's read on in verse 34 in chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism.
God don't show favoritism toward anybody. He treats everybody the same. His love is for anybody who is willing to accept it. And that's what Peter realized. It didn't matter who he was facing from. If God chose that individual, that he's important. He has value. And so often we need to be the same way no matter who we face. We got to realize what we're here for. And it's not about us, brothers and sisters. It's about doing God's work. Reading on. But accepting from every nations
the ones who fear him and does what is right. You know the message that God sent to his people of Israel, announcing the good news of the peace through Jesus Christ. That's our message right there. Who is Lord of all. Does he leave anybody out of that? Should we leave anybody out of that? Everybody you come across to in the grocery store, at the bank, the person that cuts you off in the middle of the road, the one that yells and screams at you for no particular reasons, they all belong to the Lord. It's how we handle it. Not how they handle it. It's how we handle it. Do they see God in us? You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God announced Jesus as Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and the power, and how he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses for everything he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him, hanging him on a cross. I think this is one of the significance about being a centurion, about Cornelius. Might have been present when all this occurred. It's reminding him what occurred and what happened to him. This is that Jesus that was hanging on the cross. This was him. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge over life and death. All the prophets testified about him, and that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of the sins through his name. There's a reminder. This should not be new to you. It's been preached and taught well before this time that this was coming, that all nations would be blessed. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out over even Galileans. For they heard them speaking in tongue and praising God. Speaking in tongue, the notes are at the end of this, is just like the day of Pentecost. They heard it in their own language. No matter who was there, they could hear what was being said. They could understand it, and they were astonished that this was happening. Not only the day of Pentecost, but it being present here today. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water." There's that word baptism again. There should be no doubt by the time we get through Acts that you have to be baptized and it has to be by water. It should be. So there, what we say matters. Baptism matters. Not only do we preach it and teach it, but we do it. What we do matters. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. They asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. That had to be an incredible trip for Peter. You know, Peter's just like us. Peter was with Jesus all this time frame. Peter knew the history that Jesus was coming. Peter knew and heard about Abraham, that all nations would be blessed. And I think about my life. I'm 58 years old. I grew up in the church. I've grown and lived in the church my entire life. But I find myself in the same position as Petersburg. I still need some learning to do. Because Peter knew what was going on, but he separated what God had called clean. He kind of kept as unclean.
So, you know, we all have some learning to do. And we all need to realize a few things. Now, Peter goes back to where he was at. And I want you all to read Acts 11, 1 through 18 when you get home. But basically, they asked Peter, what were you doing? Why were you going to that military house? You know that against the law. You know that you weren't supposed to do that. And so Peter told them everything that occurred. He told them about the angel coming to him. He told them about the sheep coming down with all the animals and the reptiles and birds. And he told them about what the Lord declares clean, don't you dare call unclean. He laid it all out to them. He told them about his trip there and what happened there. And in verse 17, it tells us this. This is what they got out of it after listening to Peter. So if God gives them the same gift he gives us who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objection and praised God, saying, so then even the Galileans have gathered repentance for eternal life. It leads to life. They realize, I need to get out of God's way. What we need to realize, brothers and sisters, this morning, it matters what we say, it matters what we do. But what we realize and need to understand, it's not our truth. We don't own this truth. This truth belongs to God. We don't have a right to change it. We don't have the right to say, hey, it's okay that we don't do it a certain way. We don't have a right, and that's the way we need to preach it and teach it. I follow God's word. It's not my word. It's His word. So why do we do the Lord's Supper every Sunday, first day of the week? Because God said so. Men choose to divert from God's word. When somebody says, I don't need to be baptized, all I got to do is believe. It's not your word and it's not my word. It's God's word. Who are we going to be judged at the end of the time frame? I'm not going to be able to go up there with Wesley and say, oh man, Wesley was a good person. He did great song leading. I mean, I really greatly appreciate him. I'm not going to be able to stand up there for Wesley. I told Wesley he didn't have to do that, Lord. It's not going to work out that way. Because it's not our word. It's not our plan. We are only the workers. We have no right to change any parts of it. But we do. I do. I guarantee every one of you do, because in life we say, well, maybe I ain't got to do that. Maybe I don't need to go to church this Sunday. It's really not needed that we gather together, as James said earlier in class today. Maybe I don't have to give as much to the church because it's okay, because, you know, I don't have to give this week even though I got the money because I want to buy that other nice item. Or maybe somebody walks by, I don't need to tell them about the Lord today. I can do it another day. We find ourselves controlling or standing in the way of God. And that's what I want to encourage you this morning to realize. Don't stand in God's way. Understand your place. You're a worker for the Lord. And if you're not working for the Lord is not effective. We got to preach His word. We got to do it in a loving, kind way. We got to treat people like they matter. What we says matters, as we talked about last Sunday, but what we do matters. How we treat others. How we take care of others. And if we go live our lives, and you heard it from me in the last month, if we just go live our lives, we're missing out on what we're supposed to be doing. Last week I gave you the homework assignment was to tell somebody about Christ, to talk to somebody about Christ this week. This week's homework is go do something for somebody for Christ. I want you to find an opportunity to help somebody who in need, because it's an offering to the Lord.
So I want you to go find an opportunity to help a neighbor or help somebody at the grocery store or help somebody on the street or help a brother and sister in Christ. Find an opportunity to do something that matters. Not only speak it, but live it. Sometimes that's hard for us to do, and so I stepped on my toes all week. So I get so busy in life that I just live my life. I'm not here for me. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to do the Lord's work. And I encourage you this week, find a way to do the Lord's work. I don't know what you're going through. I know. I can tell you for a fact. When the elders of this congregation pray for you and you're in need of something, you'll have good results. I can tell you for a fact. This week is evidence of it already. All the messages came out, all the good news that Wesley sent out, it just kept reinferring. Wesley called me on Tuesday. I don't remember the whole conversation, Wesley. I'm sorry. I was kind of out of it, but I know I had several phone calls, and I appreciate the prayers and concerns and stuff like that. But I told Wesley, if I remember it correctly, Wesley, correct me if I'm wrong, that I had a little bleeding, which was normal, but I had no pain. I had no pain. So our God answers prayers because of what we do as a congregation, of what we do as individual Christians. So I encourage you this week, look, find, seek those opportunities to do something for somebody else this week. It will make a difference in your life. And if there's anything we can do for you, I'm telling you once again for the last time that the prayers of the elders of this congregation will make a difference. So if there's anything we can do for you, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.